Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's times like these that I don't know about you, but I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to sit at his feet and be in his presence. See, it's times like these that you receive all that you have need from heaven. You receive your healing. You receive direction. You receive wisdom. Everything that we have need of is in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming to visit your people here today in New Freedom Church. And thank you, Lord, for spreading out on the airways to those who are tuning in to New Freedom Church here today. Oh, thank you, Lord. May the very same presence that we are experiencing in this place transfer to the people that tune in. And may lives be touched and changed. And may we all never be the same. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I have the privilege of sharing on the offering message here this morning. And the title of this small message is "The Lord Hath Need of It," or "The Lord Hath Need of You." Hallelujah. And I just want to go back real quick and talk about that testimony that I gave this morning about how that I have been dealing with vertigo, and a couple days it got so bad that I didn't even feel safe driving my work truck around. And so two Sunday nights ago, the Lord touched me in a powerful way right here at this altar. And I was healed of that vertigo. But what I want you to know is that about 2 weeks prior to that, I had been called out on a call, and it was to members of our church, to Jane and Chris's, to deliver a baby goat. And I don't know if you know, when I got there, Christy was driving me. That's because I was so out of kilter that day that I couldn't even drive. But I was praying that the Lord would give me strength to make it to your place and be able to help you all out. And he did. So I just wanted you to know that sometimes we just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. We just have to keep moving on. We just have to keep doing what we know to do until we see it manifested. Hallelujah. And so I just kept doing that and believing God every step of the way that he was going to see me through. And then he did. He got me through all those calls, but he met me here the other night. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants to do for each and every one of you. He will see you through, but he will meet you where you're at. And if you press in with your whole heart, he will touch you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the Lord hath need of it. We're going to go to Luke 19. And we're We're going to read from verses 29 through 38. This is Luke 19, 29 through 38. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. See, the title in my Bible here is the triumphant entry. And this is about a week before Jesus was crucified. He is entering into Jerusalem, and he's coming down off the Mount of Olives, and he is riding a donkey, a colt that has never been ridden. And so as he is coming down, the people are shouting and praising. If you read in other Gospels, they are waving palm branches. They are throwing their garments on the ground for the donkey and Jesus to pass over on. They are exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords here. Now, I want to break this down for you a little bit and help you understand what has happened here. First off, the owners of this donkey blow my mind. They responded to someone saying, The Lord has need of it. Can you imagine if you had, let me put it in modern text for you, or modern vernacular. So let's say you had a brand new Mustang sitting in your driveway, and two dudes show up. They work for this ministry, and the pastor of this ministry has sent these two dudes to your house to get your brand new Mustang. What are you going to do? And they say, The Lord has need of it. Oh, come on in. Here's the keys. Have it. Take it. Yeah. Go right on. Take it to the pastor. Let him drive around the countryside and preach the gospel in my brand new Mustang. Pastor David is feeling me here. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, isn't it amazing that the owners of this colt were obedient to this word and released this form of transportation to the disciples, to the two disciples. Now, do you know that by their obedience to obey this word of the Lord hath need of it, They actually help prophecy be fulfilled. If you go to Zechariah 9:9, let's go there right now. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So because of their obedience, because of their willingness to give, prophecy was fulfilled. Now, when you think about this donkey, and this is the part that amazes me, having been around a few equine in my day, this colt had never been ridden on. Never been ridden. Young. So they take this colt to Jesus. What do? They throw their garments on them, on the donkey. Have you ever tried to wave something around a horse, like a flag or something that is flapping? They are usually gone. So they throw their garments on the donkey. They put Jesus on the donkey, who this donkey has never been ridden. Nowhere does it say this donkey tried to buck him off. Because, see, the Creator was sat down on creation. And when the Creator comes upon you, you obey Him. Hallelujah. And so this donkey, I believe, was instantly tamed, was instantly trained. This was the best trained donkey in Jerusalem. Because then not only did Jesus get to ride the donkey, but people were waving palm branches in the donkey's face. They were throwing their cloaks down in front of the donkey. Try to get a horse to walk on a piece of carpet or anything that's not normal to them. And they balk. And donkeys are good at balking, let me tell you. Have you ever tried to pull a donkey? You aren't budging them. And so I'm here to tell you that this donkey received a miraculous touch and was trained and was obedient and was probably the most amazing donkey in Jerusalem. And so what do you think happened to this donkey after Jesus was done with it? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm pretty confident the people that the Lord had need of it, that released it to the Lord, got that donkey back. Best trained donkey ever. Hallelujah. Just think of the value of that donkey. Amen. So when I'm here to tell you that when you give to the Lord, when you bless the Lord, you get it back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So the other point that I want to make to you, and this also is in Zechariah, that just as the owners of this donkey were able to fulfill a prophecy, you and I, by our giving, have the opportunity to fulfill a prophecy. Hallelujah. Zechariah was an amazing man of God to not only prophesy about the first coming of Jesus to Jerusalem, but here in Zechariah 14, he's prophesying about the second coming of Jesus to Jerusalem. So this is Zechariah 14, 1 through 4. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, I believe, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. So what we see here is a type and shadow. Jesus' first coming from the mount to the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus' second coming is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. But did you know that you and I play a part in this coming to pass? Because by our giving, we help to hasten the process. We help to expedite the process. This scripture is not up there, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. It's 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. And hasten means to hurry it along. And so as we are obedient to give what the Lord has need of, it hastens the day of the Lord's coming. It hastens his second coming. So as you can see, we have a part to play. Now the other point that I want to make here is that your giving is the vessel that the gospel rides on. And if you think about the gospel is free, salvation is free, but it takes money to get the gospel out. It takes, dare I say, donkeys to carry Jesus. Whatever that donkey may be, it may be the sound waves. It may be one-on-one evangelism. It may be going to the Queen Anne's County Fair, $2,000 put aside to do that, to reach the lost. How many more times has this church given of itself to go spread the good news? Hallelujah. So when you think about the gospel going out, money is required for the gospel to be spread. So let's think about it this way. How many of you like a good steak dinner? Okay. So how many of you, when you go to the restaurant, your favorite restaurant where you get this steak dinner, go in, sit down, order, tell them exactly how you want it, and then you partake of this steak dinner, and then at the end of the meal, you get up, and you thank the waitress, and you thank the manager, and you walk right out without paying. It don't happen, does it? Right. So, how many people come to church, feast on the Word of God, the good news, they partake of what the Lord has for them, and is not spiritual food greater than natural food, but they get up and walk out the door and never give an offering, never pay for their meal? See, my wife, a lot of times when we attend meetings, she'll say to me, "What's the Lord telling you to give in this offering?" And I've never really told you this, but the reason why, if I don't really have something, I always say $100, is because I feel like we can get three steaks for $75. But I know the Lord's food is much more valuable than what we get at any natural restaurant. And so that's why I always tell you $100 at least to put into the offering when you ask me. And so when you start grabbing a hold of the value that you receive every time you hear the word of God, when you start putting a value, this is the pearl of great price. Hallelujah. When a man found this pearl, he sold all that he had to buy this pearl. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then this gospel becomes invaluable. You can't put a value on it. It cost us everything. Hallelujah. Yes, you're exactly right. It cost him everything. And we have to be willing, when the Lord says, I have need of it, to give him everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the last verse that I want to go to is Matthew 24:14. In Matthew 24, and I believe that we are living in these very verses right now because it talks about wars and rumors of wars. It talks about plagues or pestilences. It talks about famines. It talks about all the things that we are seeing happen on the earth today. But in verse 14, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to go meet Jesus? Hallelujah. But we have a job of work to do while we're here still on this earth. Hallelujah. We have a responsibility to the gospel, to the good news, to get behind it with everything that we have. And I just ask you to pray and ask the Lord what he would have you do as far as getting behind this good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have need of? What do you need from me to see this gospel proclaimed to all the ends of the earth? In Jesus' name, amen. So, ushers, if you would come and serve the people. We were singing a song earlier that said, lift up your eyes, see the King has come. Yes, Jesus has come one time, but Jesus is coming back again. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes, see the King coming. But also see the part that you play in his coming. The part that you play in seeing the kingdom of God established here on this earth before the King comes back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the people's heart here today to give to you, to give to the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and that we are a part of that glorious church. And as your bride, as your body, you are blessing your body so that we can bless you, Lord. So that we can bless others, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us looks to how we can be a blessing for you. And I thank you, Lord, that we know that you bless us when we bless you. And so, Lord, we give you this offering here today. We thank you for the opportunity to give it to you. May it come up as a sweet-smelling fragrance before you today. And may lives be touched and changed. And may this gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world. And then we can get the heaven out of here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. I was ready to give like four times in that message. Amen. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like the Spirit of the Lord grips your spirit and you have such a desire to release because you know it's not yours. It's the presence of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God that just comes upon you. And you don't really have the answer except for open your arms, open your hands, open your heart, and say, Lord, whatever you have need of, it's yours. And that comes across when the Word of God is ministered. And before I start, I'm going to pray. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for the ministry that has gone forth. I thank you for those listening online, Lord God, that they receive a touch of heaven more than they've already received, Father God, because I know that those who sow shall reap, Lord God. So we're already setting in motion a reaping and a harvest coming our way, Lord God. But Father, I thank you that today is no different. I thank you that each and every soul listening online and here present in the service is going to receive more than what they have come for, more than beyond their expectation, Lord God, that as they walked into the door, Father God, that a sweet presence came upon them, Father God, that set the stage for a miracle, that set the stage for vision, that set the stage for a purpose in life, that set the stage for a mission in life, to pursue the call of God, to pursue the word of the Lord and what God has for them, Father. I thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit here this morning on each and every soul in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said amen. 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 Hallelujah. You ready to receive today? Amen. Amen. There's an atmosphere of faith here in this house this morning. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, if you just hold on by the Spirit of God, it'll be a constant flow throughout the whole service. It doesn't matter who's ministering, doesn't matter who's praying. There's an atmosphere here. And as we're obedient to the gospel and obedient to the Spirit, it'll keep flowing. So your heart's already open. God's already downloading. Don't stop now. Amen. Don't shut off to what the Lord has. Because there's a common theme that's going through this service this morning. Besides the Spirit of God, there's a common theme besides the Word of God. The theme is God is imparting vision to you. And that's the title of my message. It's the title of the message is Fulfilling the Vision. Because the Lord, through testimonies, He's sharing with people. People are moving out. They're stepping out into what God's calling them to do. And they're searching for vision. There's hunger in the house today. People are hungry for God. They want to get fed by God. They don't want a watered-down message. They don't want some religious jargon. They want something tangible. They can say, ah, God is here. And God has something for me. God loves me. God cares about me. God created me for such a time as this. It's no accident that you're here today. I mean, the presence of God is so strong. When I was up here before Pastor Tim came, I'm thinking to myself, good luck, brother. Here's the microphone. Amen. Because He's here. God is here. And it's not in a particular person. And it's not in a particular translation. It's not in a particular location. It's wherever hearts are hungry for God. And you're hungry. I know it. I feel it. I sense it. It's like what I'm saying is like marinating the place. It's like just going out and it's like resting on you. And you're receiving it. And it's a wonderful feeling. And it's like, what in the world am I doing? God's doing it. God's doing it. God is doing it. Amen. Amen. God is doing. So fulfilling the vision. I prayed about this service and this sermon, if I can say it, extra. Because it's a little out of the box. And it's about vision, purpose, and mission. Not only for New Freedom, but as you understand New Freedom Church's vision, purpose, and mission, you'll be able to plug in and link up with it. And God is going to place you and give you vision, purpose, and a mission to fulfill. Amen? Because it comes from the top down. So many people are like, what's my purpose in life? God, what's your vision for my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? All these questions, every single one of you has asked, whether you want to admit it or not. You've asked it. Deep down, you're like, what am I doing? Why am I here? What is my purpose? I'm telling you, you're going to get it today. I prophesy that in the name of Jesus. You're going to get vision today. You're going to know that you know why you're here, what you're doing, and the details of what's going on. I'm not saying the Lord's going to give you his whole story because you won't be able to handle it. Talking about being out on the floor, you'd probably die physically if the Lord gave you everything that you're supposed to do. Amen. The glory would be too strong. The information would be too great. And your faith would be like, oh no, because God is big. Amen. Amen. But the body of Christ together will fulfill the prophecy, will fulfill the mission. Amen. So I'm going to talk about New Freedom's mission, the kingdom mission. But it's also going to speak to the mission that God has for you because you are a child of the King and he has given you purpose. Amen. It's going to start with vision. Amen. And before I get there, I want to share two scriptures. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. If you want me to be brutally honest with you, which I always am, but I'm telling you that God has given me a heart for people like I've never had before. And my heart cries for people to have vision. And when I pray about that, I think to myself, have I done all I need to do as a pastor to give vision? And the Spirit of the Lord started speaking to me about vision. Amen. Because as a leader, I need vision. As a man or woman of God, you need vision. Everybody has to have vision. Because if you don't, guess what? Number one, you can't see. And the other two things are, you can have vision, but if it's not clear, you either have blurry vision or you have double vision. And one is not better than the other. Because both of them, you will run smack into a wall. Because if you have blurry vision, you can't see it. If you have double, you think it's here, but it's really where you're walking. And boom, you hit it either way. So blurry vision and double vision, no good. And it just speaks to my spirit, the testimony of Pastor Tim with having vertigo and how this is all coming together, how the Holy Spirit revealed. Vertigo is not cool. The road may not be where the road is. Amen? What you're seeing isn't really what you're seeing. Amen? And what you feel, you feel like you're on rocky, unstable ground, and you may be sitting down and feel that way. You understand? That's how important vision is. If you do not have vision, you will not prosper. Amen. You'll fail. You need vision because vision gets you going in a direction. The time is now to get vision. Amen. This is an add-on from last week. So if you didn't hear last week or you weren't here, listen to it. This will put icing on the cake. Amen. Vision. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Habakkuk 2:1-3. If you can turn there, if you know where Habakkuk is. If not, go to the front of your Bible. It starts with an H. Amen. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. I had to do that all through Bible school. They're like, turn here. I'm like, I never even heard of that one. Let me turn to the front of the, and it gave me the content. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed where you are spiritually or knowing your word. Never be ashamed of the gospel. Right at Bible school, there's people twice my age that are like, their whole Bible is all colored, highlighted, notes everywhere. I mean, they were spiritual. And they're like, turn here, and I'm like, my Bible's never even opened to that page yet. And I'm in Bible school. Just being honest with you. We feel like we got to be a certain way to be holy. The Bible says, be holy for I'm holy. Amen. Be like Jesus. You'll be holy whether your Bible's ever open there or not. I'm telling you, you'll get there. Don't burden yourself. Don't put anxiety on you. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. I'm telling you, we're in a time and a season where we need to stand and listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand and listen. What is he saying to you? And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. And I've heard that verse many times, but I'll be quite honest with you. I personally have not done the best job with vision. But it's done now. We're getting vision, and we're running. And you'll be able to get it today, and you're going to run like wildfire. Because you'll have vision. You'll be able to see, this is where I'm going. This is what the Lord has for me. Some of you are young. You may be in your later teenage years wondering, what does the Lord have for me? This is a big adjustment in my life. Getting done high school, getting done college, whatever it may be, switching jobs. There's a lot, there's a big world out before me. I'm telling you, if you don't get vision from the Lord, you'll feel like you're scattered all over the place. People pulling you this way and this way, and then you get dating and get married, and all of a sudden everything feels pulled inward. Children, all these things weigh on it. If you do not have the word of the Lord, you will be stretched like Gumby. I'm telling you, you'll be so far, you'll be so thin, because everybody's pulling on you. Even ministry will pull on you. You must have vision, or ministry will pull on you. I love being a pastor, but if I don't have vision for what God's telling me to do, everybody is going to pull me in different directions. Words being spoken pull you in different directions. Thoughts coming pull you in different. Without vision, you are pulled in the wrong direction. You must have vision. So what is vision? What really is vision? Vision is where you are going. Vision is in front of you. Remember, look forward. Vision is future. It's not the past. Don't have visions of the past and you live your life based off of the past. Amen. Two eyes in the front of your head, look forward. Vision is forward thinking. Amen. It's in front of you. It's viewing an end goal. It's having a future objectives that you want to obtain. Amen. It's tied with goals. It's going forward. So what would it be as a Christian? A Christian vision is to fulfill the call of God on your life. To get to heaven. To hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Those are biblical visions that you would like to have. Amen. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You may have a vision for your family. Amen. Vision for your marriage. Everything needs a vision to it. But the first vision must be God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then everything else must line up with that vision. And if it doesn't, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be pulled different ways if the Lord's telling you to go this way. The world will give you different visions. And then it will lead to different purposes and different missions. And all of a sudden, you're going by the wayside. And you're missing the narrow path God has for you. Get the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain. And that's what we're doing here at New Freedom Church. We wrote the vision, and I'm going to share it with you. We're going to make it plain. All right? It's very simple. It's like five words. Why? So you can run with it. If you cannot run with the vision in front of you, it's not the right vision. It's got to be plain enough to obtain. Oh, I got out of Bible school. I'm going to win the world. No, wrong vision. There's no way you individually are going to win the whole world. You have a part to play in winning the whole world. You have a place to be to win the whole world. And you have a mission field to win the whole world. Amen. So you got to be able to direct that vision of winning the whole world down to what's God called you to do to be a part of the body to win the whole world. Amen. And that's the answer you need to answer. It just so happens Every single one of you are at New Freedom Church because God has a vision for this church. He's got a purpose for this church, and he's got a mission field for this church. And when we understand that, each one of you can plug into it. It's kind of like right down here, or we go this way. This is the altar. We'll go this way. It's like a big electric strip. You know how you plug in the wall and then there's a whole bunch of plugs behind it? Praise God. That's what it's like up here. And once you understand the vision of the house, you can plug your plug into it, your giftings, your callings. God starts equipping you to fulfill your vision that's part of the house's vision. And you must be in a church that you believe in the vision. If you do not believe in the vision, you can't plug in. Amen. And then you won't fulfill yours. God has you placed in the body as what? He sees fit. Amen. Get into your place and plug in. Amen. It's one thing to see the power. It's another thing to feel the power and receive the power and walk in the power. Amen. That's what vision does. And a lot of people do not have vision. And I'm talking about in the world. I'm not just talking about the church. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. They can't run because they don't have vision. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Huh. All right. Vision. Number one, A. First point, the vision of New Freedom Church. When I share about the church, that is when your faith is going to link to it and God's going to download yours. Hear what I'm saying. Jesus had a vision. Jesus had vision. Jesus had purpose. Jesus had a mission. Didn't he? Jesus didn't just float out of heaven, come down here, and just go on some boats and go fishing and walk around Galilee and wave to people. Right? He had a purpose for coming. Why would you leave heaven, deity, and become humanity and take on sin if there wasn't some vision involved? That would be stupid. Right? That would be stupid. All right? Why would you be perfect and say, let's go jump in the world of mud? And that's what Jesus did. But he had vision because the Father gave him vision. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. That was the vision. To come, the purpose was what? To redeem mankind. To deliver them from the captives. To set them free. To heal the sick. That was God's purpose for man, is to reconcile them to God. To give us a heaven and keep us out of hell. That's why Jesus came. So New Freedom Church must link up with God's vision. If it doesn't, it's not the church. But our vision at New Freedom may be different than the Baptist church down the road. And that's totally fine, but they better be linked to heaven. So you have a power strip from heaven that churches link into. Then you have a power strip of churches that the people link into. You get what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. It happens in the family. Amen. The husband and wife, covenant with God, power strip. Kids plug in to the vision of the house while they're growing up. There's blessing. Amen. Amen. That kind of got quiet. You got the spiritual side. It's applied to the natural, okay? Amen. It's applied to the natural. So New Freedom's vision, bring freedom to the generations. If you want to take great notes, you can. I have a sheet of paper that the ushers have that are going to give you of our vision, our purpose, our mission, our goals, and our values. They'll give it to you when you leave. Amen. It's good to take notes, but I'm telling you, you'll get it on the way out either way. Because I want you to get a hold of this, because when you grab it, you're going to grab God, you're going to grab unity, you're going to grab one accord, and you're going to grab the joy of the Lord, and you're going to run and do and fulfill what God has. Hallelujah. Such a time as this. I'm telling you, now is the time to bring freedom to the generations. That came in my spirit. Amen, because why? New Freedom Church. We're about freedom here. You come in the door, you will not get bound. You will get unbound. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. Amen. Jesus came to unbind people, to set them free, to take the chains off. So our vision is to bring freedom And it's not just a Delmarva, because guess what? We're in Haiti. Amen. Amen. We support in India. We're going around the world. Amen. We're in different states. We tithe to different ministries. Some are in Russia. Amen. Some are in Pennsylvania. Some are in Florida. And they're all over. And the seed is just going out. Because the vision, we're plugged into that vision. We're plugged into different giftings and callings of God. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. We're plugged into those. Amen. So what they're doing, we're plugged into their vision. And we're going to receive power from that calling. Amen. You get what I'm saying? Who you plug into makes all the difference in the world. Amen. You plug a 110 into a 440, you're going to find out some difference. Amen. You try to do AC and DC, you're going to have issues for you electrical people. Well, if you're a welder, you try to weld with something at the right, wrong level, you're going to burn something up. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you have size 12 foot, but you buy size 8 shoe. You're going to have a problem. Not going to fit. All right? Little painful. Let me just move this into the spirit realm. If you're not in the will of God and you're not plugged in, your life becomes painful. Because you're doing it in your own power, not God's. The anointing breaks the yoke, destroys the yoke, and allows you to walk free. That's our vision. Bring freedom to the generations. It's not just around the world. It's from generation to generation. Amen. What the 99-year-old woman accepted, the 5-year-old can accept. Darkness left her body. She entered heaven. Freedom. Freedom. Generational freedom. New Freedom Church, our vision, break. Everybody say this. Break the generational curse in Jesus' name. That's our vision, to bring freedom in the generation. It's not going to pass from one generation to the next in Jesus' name. It cannot, for those that link to the vision of Christ. When Jesus comes in, you cannot live the way you used to live. I don't care if you want to do it. God has the power to deliver it from you. Amen. You may have an addiction. I'm telling you, you can be set free today in Jesus' name. New Freedom Church, this is what we're about. You say, well, that's awful bold. That's different than the church down the street. I read the Bible. The Bible says, him who the Son sets free is free indeed. It doesn't say denomination. Our belief system is, you will be made free in Jesus' name. Every name must bow to the name of Jesus. So when Jesus is glorified, you become free. Hallelujah. That's why we praise and worship. Are you getting a hold of this? I'm having fun up here. I'm loving it. This is phenomenal. Romans 8:2. And it's not pride, so, you know, get a hold of the vision. There's not pride in the house. Amen. It's nothing to do with a person. Generational blessing. New freedom's going to go on beyond Pastor David and Pastor Lacey. If Jesus tarries, it's going to go on to someone else that could be sitting in this room. Who knows what the Lord has? But I'm going to pour into what God gave me to give you. You're going to carry the mantle, and you're going to run. I almost said something. You're going to run really hard. Amen? You're going to run hard with the fire of God because it's placed in you. We said we're not shutting down because we have what the people need that want to close us down. We have the healing that people need that want to close us down, and the reason they want to close the church down. We got the answer. Why shut down when you have the answer? That's counterproductive. Amen. If you have the answer to the problem, you should be the one conveying the answer. Amen. Get the vision. Jesus is the Savior of the world. No matter what people say. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter what science says. Jesus came to save mankind. Amen. And he did it. They just need to hear about it. New freedom. Amen. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set the captives free. So that vision and that purpose and mission that Jesus came by the Spirit to set the captives free. When you have Jesus, you have the ability to set the captives free. Why would we change Jesus' vision here at the church? We're his body. We should receive the same vision Jesus has. If you don't receive his vision, you're probably not part of the body. So just because the last part of someone's name says church on the end doesn't mean they're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Because if their vision isn't lining up with Scripture, they're going in the wrong direction. All right? I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying anybody's name. I'm just telling you, you must know how Jesus' vision and God's vision for humanity. And when you know that, you'll know whether a church is a church founded on God or whether it's founded on a man or cult or some other thing. All right? Vision. You must have it. Jeremiah 1:10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and plant. The vision of new freedom. There's times where we got a bulldozer out. There's times where we might have to light something on fire to burn the junk out of the way, and then we can build and plant something. You understand? So we are a pioneering church. We're meeting in a barn in the middle of nowhere. Amen. But we were the first one to get fiber optics in Queen Anne's County. Amen. Glory to God. You're listening online even though we're in the middle of nowhere, because God has a word for his people. Amen. Amen. So to root out, to pull down. Notice these things. Root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. There's four different things God's talking about there that have to be done prior to building and planting. Everybody wants to build and plant. Oh, I just want to go start a church here. I just want to go do this, and I just want to do that. You better take care of the groundwork or your building's on shaking sand. Amen? So new freedom, generational. We're putting something here that we've been plowing for a long time because we're setting the ground for revival. We're setting the ground for revival, and we're not backing away from it. This is the greatest time. We've done, for you guys that are newer at the church, you're like, man, why do they do? We do it because we've had to do certain things to root out, to pull down, and to get this thing to the place where we can build. It's just the way it is. You got to go through the process. Amen? You just have to go through the process, because if you don't make the foundation sure, everything else is junk. Amen. New Freedom Church, that's our vision, because I don't want my kids to have to deal with what I dealt with. I'm telling you, the spirit of religion, the spirit of, that's garbage around here. If I hear one more person tell me, you don't know the spirits around, I don't care about the spirits. I got the Holy Spirit. He's much greater than any other spirit. Amen. People give all this garbage. There's Indians that lived here in their spirit. I don't care. I do care. God bless the Indians. But they're not here anymore, and their spirit cannot stay. You understand what I'm saying? Same thing with things in your family. You got to realize that through Christ, he breaks the curse. You say, well, my dad was an alcoholic, or my mom was this. Sorry. We'll pray for them. They will be delivered in Jesus' name. But when you get free, you can go back to them, and you can minister to them and bring freedom to them. But you have to have vision that you're free first. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're pulling down, we're throwing down, we're rooting things up. Amen. But we're building and planting now for the generations to run with the vision. Amen. Because when freedom comes one place and they get a hold of it, they'll free another place. And they'll go and it'll snowball. Amen. And I see it. The Delmarva, we're heading south. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Amen. Part of our goals are plant churches. Amen. It's going to happen. It's in my spirit. I promise. It's going to happen. But there's times where you got to root out, pull down, and get things straight before you can build it. Amen. Amen. And it's not me. It's God working through the body that gets it done. Amen. I can't do it all. I cannot. Moses couldn't do it all. Think about it. Let's go there. Where is it? Exodus 17. I didn't write it down. Exodus 17. I want you to see something in this, because this is going to bless you. Because people look at men of God or women of God, and they start looking at, and I'm not saying people worship or idol me by no means, but please never do, or anybody else. It's the man Jesus. It's no other man. It's the man. Even Moses himself, in verse 11 through 16, it says, "And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." So what's taking place here? The man of God, when he lifts his hands, Israel wins. The battle is being won. When his hands drop, you think to yourself, well, that's weird sounding. It does sound weird. It really does sound weird. But if it takes a man of God doing this to win, I'm keeping my hand up. Amen. But I can't physically keep my hand up. Even under anointing of God, a man on the earth can't do it all. Even the most anointed men of God can't do everything. It's the body. But there's other people, as Aaron and Hur, that came alongside and helped him keep his hands up. Because they knew if his hands were up, they're going to win. And they did their part to make it happen. Amen. And it wasn't about Moses. It wasn't about Aaron. It wasn't about her. Even the people, even Joshua, he was fighting the battle. He was just fighting a different part of it. But he had the vision of Moses. He had the vision of God. And he had a purpose. But Joshua's mission was physical battle. Moses' mission was keeping his hands up. Everybody's got a different purpose and a mission that they have to fulfill. But the vision is the kingdom. And that's what you need to realize. And that's why some churches, we can go to another church and help them. Go to Smyrna and help RCCG in Smyrna. Lift their hands and witness to people in that town. Amen. You see the vision, you see the purpose, and you convey and you do the mission. Amen. This may be a long service, but I got to get it out. I got to get it out. Amen. You can link up with this vision. Plug into the word of the Lord for this area. Amen. Amen. Number two, point two, letter B, purpose. The purpose is the why. Why do we do what we do? Why? So that's purpose. God gives us purpose to do things. And the purpose at New Freedom is to exalt the King and expand the kingdom. Exalt the King in everything we do. What does that mean? Lift him up. It's all about Jesus. If you're at New Freedom, you're helping New Freedom, you're soul winning for New Freedom, you're evangelizing for New Freedom, you're cleaning up leaves for your neighbor in the name of New Freedom, whatever it may be, handing out turkeys, we exalt the King. We exalt the King. All right? You got to understand. That's the purpose. Our purpose is to exalt Jesus. Nothing else. We're not exalting a man. Don't go around saying, I'm doing this for Pastor. No, you're not. Don't do it for me. Do it for him. And if you do it for him, we'll all be blessed. If you do it for me, we're all going to be cursed. I'm telling you. Don't do it in my name. Do it in the name of Jesus. You laugh about that, but I can't get anybody saved. I can't even get a flea healed. I'm telling you, it's God. And you got to keep the vision on God. You got to keep your eyes on God. Don't stray away from it. And that'll give you purpose. If you do not have vision, you will not have purpose. So many people are like, what's my purpose? And like, let me ask you, what's your vision? Because once you can define vision, you give yourself purpose. Till you have vision, you'll never have purpose. But nobody wants to talk about vision, because vision is, then I got to actually head a certain direction. But if you don't have purpose, you're like this. What am I doing? Because you have no vision. Once you have vision, boom, your eyes are on it. You're going for it. Amen. And the world will throw so many things at you to give you double vision. Or give you blurry vision. So many things happening in front of you. You don't know which way to go. So you just go in circles. Sin will cause you to go in circles. But man, when you get vision, I'm free. You step out of that thing. Amen. You take up your bed and you walk. Glory to God. Glory to God. So our purpose is to exalt the king and expand the kingdom. The purpose is the reason for which something is done, is to fulfill the vision. So a purpose is to fulfill the vision. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In him and he in us. That gives us purpose. When Jesus comes to live in you, you can really live, you can move, and you can have your being. You find out who you really are. When you get purpose, it gives you a peace on the inside that God has something for me. And I can go do what God is telling me to do. Purpose. Purpose. Purpose is a big word. But our purpose here on earth isn't to glorify self. It's to glorify him. It's not to glorify your job. It's not to get the biggest house so you can be prideful and arrogant. It's to glorify God. If God blesses you with a big house, give God the glory for it. If you want to bless your pastor with a Mustang, I give God the glory for that. Right? Amen. Amen. Right? Hey, or, you know, F-250 diesel. Either way. God gets the glory. God gets the glory. We can laugh here. Amen. God is not a sad God. And you guys know I'm joking. God knows I'm joking. If God didn't think I was joking, the anointing would be gone. It would be gone. God wouldn't put up with that. He knows my heart. Amen. And he knows your heart too. Hallelujah. In him we live and move and have our being. John 12:32. This is key. This is powerful. And I know this is Jesus talking about when he ascended and the Holy Spirit descended. But when you read it and you understand it, it's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than a moment. It's a lifestyle. John 12:32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Purpose, church. Your purpose is to lift the name of Jesus. See him high and lifted up. When you lift Jesus up, it's kind of, I got a vision of a big net on the floor. And the cables to it, you see it on boats. When they lift the net from the top, the net comes together and collects everything that's in the net, right? When Jesus is lifted up, the body of Christ is going to come together. When he returns, amen, he's lifted up. When he returns, he's going to catch away the church. Amen. When Jesus is lifted up in your marriage, amen, he draws you together. When Jesus is lifted up in your family is drawn together, comforted. There's peace in the home. Amen. Even in the house of God, when Jesus is lifted up, there's fellowship, unity, and oneness in the body. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Wherever Jesus is lifted, there's blessing. Men are drawn to each other. Women are drawn, not in a weird way. I'm saying the body of Christ, the family of God, works together, lives together, understands things, and has purpose. When Jesus is lifted up in your life, you have purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get a hold of this. Joshua 24:15. If you're thinking, how long is this going? You're missing it. The Spirit of God is here. He has something for you that you plug into, and you're going to run your race. You're going to run. You're going to get it. Hallelujah. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give your family purpose, men of God, in which who they can serve. Give them purpose. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. New freedom's purpose, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to exalt the king and expand the kingdom. Amen. Amen. The purpose, grab a hold of it. Plug into New Freedom's purpose, you will find purpose. When you exalt the king at New Freedom. You serve at New Freedom. Lift him up. Guess what? He's going to be lifted up in your house, in your marriage, at your job, in your family. When you lift him up in your finances, guess what? It's going to bless. Blessing. Whenever Jesus is lifted, there's blessing. Every time. It can't not happen. God would be a liar. And God's not a liar. And the Bible tells us that. He cannot lie. Hallelujah. So that's purpose. So without vision, without seeing in the future and having objectives, you have no purpose. So if your vision is to get to heaven and to receive all the promises and the blessings that heaven has to offer, amen. That's your vision. That's your future. What's the purpose? The purpose is to activate to be able to get there. To activate to be able to get there. Last one. Letter C. Number three is the mission. And this is where you are right now. The first two are heart and thought patterns. Mission is activation. Mission is rubber meets the road. Mission is the actual how are we going to do it. Amen. When you get into the army, there's different parts of the army that do different things. Different service members do different things. But they all have a vision. They all have a purpose. And they all have their own mission. You get what I'm saying? Mission is where it's at. Mission is where we are right now. Today, we're on the mission field. Amen. Today, you're setting yourself up to fulfill your vision and give yourself purpose, because today is the mission field. Understand this, mission. So New Freedom's mission, to get the word of God into people through preaching, teaching, and demonstration. The Lord gave me that word in 2010, and it hasn't changed. Get the word of God in the people is the word he gave me. And it just so happens, here on the end, he's given me through preaching, teaching, and demonstration. So the mission is to get the word of God into people, because then they will exalt the king and expand the kingdom, and then generations will change. Amen. You see the stepping stones, but you have to do the mission to have purpose to fulfill the vision, but you have to have vision to have purpose to do your mission. You see the stepping up and the stepping down. Amen. When you have vision, you have purpose. When you have purpose, you'll do your mission. When you do your mission, you receive purpose, and then you fulfill your vision. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. I don't know if you're grabbing what I'm saying, but all through it, when you get a hold of this thing, life is fun. Because you're doing the work of the Lord, you have purpose in your life, and you know where you're going. Amen. I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to get as many people as I can to go with me. Because we are going to dance on the streets of gold. We're going to worship Jesus all day long. And there won't be any sin to stop us. And there ain't no devil there. Amen. Amen. But till then, we got a mission. And it's to get the word of God into people. Because the word does not return void. And the word goes and it does exactly what it says to do. So when you have purpose and you have vision, you're going to apply the word to your mission. Your mission has to have the power of God on it. You have to have the Holy Spirit to fulfill your mission. Do not go on the mission field. Do not do anything without the Holy Ghost. You will not fulfill your purpose and get to the vision without the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you cannot be convicted to get saved. Nobody gets to heaven without the Holy Ghost convicting them to receive Jesus. Amen. Amen. Jesus was sent. God's purpose was to send Jesus to redeem mankind. If God didn't do that, none of us would get to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to, as Christians, fulfill God's vision, purpose, and mission. We have to. There's no other option. That's why it all revolves around Jesus. It all does. Your vision has to have Jesus in it. Your purpose in life has to have Jesus in it. And your mission has to have Jesus in it. If you just want heaven, but you have no purpose and you have no mission, guess what? It's going to be a hard time trying to get to heaven. You definitely, if you do, you surely won't get any rewards when you're there, because you did nothing for the king. You need purpose and a mission. God has purpose and a mission for you. Amen. And it's to get the Word of God into people through preaching, teaching, and demonstration. What does that mean? That means you have to physically do something. Amen? You get right now, you're already fulfilling part of your mission. You're getting the Word of God into you. You're being part of the body of Christ. You're here together, fellowshipping, and getting the apostles' doctrine in you. Amen. You're getting the Word of God into you. You're getting vision. You're getting purpose. And you're going to fulfill your mission. Amen. It's happening right now because there's preaching and teaching going forth. Guess what? There's going to be demonstration. Amen. Because that's part of it. The Word does not return void. There has to be demonstration with the preaching and the teaching. Some of you are like, well, I'm just a teacher. That's great. You can still plug in. Be the teacher. Walk in the teaching gift. It may not be the fivefold ministry, but God's calling people. I know it. They already told me. They want to teach young people. Amen. Praise the Lord. They want to teach. You plug in with the vision, the purpose, and the mission. You're going to fulfill your vision, purpose, and mission. Amen. See how it works? It's very easy. But preaching, teaching, and demonstration. It is the activation to achieve your vision. If you never get the mission, never go do the mission, you will not fulfill the vision. See how these work? Vision has to come first, then purpose, and then mission. Because if you don't have a vision, you won't have a mission either. You won't have a purpose and you won't have a mission. Hallelujah. So at New Freedom Church is to get the Word of God into people through preaching, teaching, and demonstration. We must link up with God's vision, purpose, and mission. Matthew 4:23. This is a scripture to solidify the mission of New Freedom Church. And guess what? It's going to solidify yours as well. And this is nothing to do with a fivefold ministry calling. These next three verses, nothing to do with a ministry calling. This is the body at work. And Jesus went about Galilee, Matthew 4:23, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. There is a mission field out there. And it takes those three things, preaching, teaching, and healing, demonstration of God's power. So if you're wondering, well, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to serve Jesus with all of your heart. Live for him all the days of your life. And when you do that, you'll have a mission. You'll see so many people that don't know him, that need to know more about him. And the mission field is great. The wheat is ripe. The fields are white unto harvest. There's many that do not know the Lord that need to know the Lord. That's preaching. Teaching in the synagogues is the church. The church is designed to disciple people and raise people up. Preaching is out on the streets proclaiming the gospel, the good news. Then there's demonstration of the healing power of God. To touch every single person. That's the purpose or the mission of New Freedom Church. Preach, teach, and demonstrate the power of God. Hallelujah. Mark 16:15-20. This is the Great Commission. I'm just going to read it. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. The preaching of the gospel brings salvation to mankind. You can't get away from it. Amen. That's our mission, to preach the gospel. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Demonstration. Everybody say demonstration. Demonstration. Signs will follow. Amen. The preaching of the gospel. There's demonstration. In my name they will cast out demons. Demons will flee when you preach the name of Jesus. Demonstration. They will speak with new tongues. Demonstration. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak with new tongues. I don't care what the denomination told you. It's not from the devil. It's the word of the Lord. It's right in Scripture. Amen. It's right there. If you don't believe me, get your Bible. Mark 16:17. Amen. Speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Demonstration. Demonstration. That's your mission. Your mission for God is to lay hands on the sick. Amen. Woo! Amen. To preach the gospel, to cast out demons, to speak in new tongues, to lay hands on the sick. They will recover. It's not for you to recover them. Don't toss them a bunch of vitamins and minerals. Toss them the love of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Toss them that and they will receive their healing. They shall recover. Demonstration. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them. Everybody say demonstration. Confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So there's signs that follow the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Demons go. Sickness goes. Amen. You speak in new tongue. All these things happen by the preaching of the gospel. And you're like, well, what about the teaching? I'm glad you asked. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So the man has all the authority. Jesus has all the authority in heaven and earth, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you teach and make disciples of men, Jesus is there demonstrating his power and his wisdom imparting to them that hear. The Bible says, how do they hear without a preacher? Amen. You got to proclaim the gospel. You got to teach the word of God. Amen. And they'll observe it. They'll see it. They'll know it. And they'll follow after it. And it says, I am with you always. Amen. Amen. When you're doing the Lord's work, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. Amen. To the end of the age. What's the end of the age? The end of the age is when the church is raptured. Amen. It's not necessarily the end of time, but it's the end of the age of the church. And when the church is gone, Jesus isn't doing the same works he was because he uses the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. There'll still be teaching going on, though, because the books will still, Bibles will still be here when we're gone. Anyway, different subject. Last scripture, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. Trying to do two things at once. Let me read that again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to do the mission and the purpose and fulfill the vision here on earth. God has anointed you to do the vision, purpose, and mission here on earth. Amen. Amen. And the way to fulfill that is to read in God's word and allow his Holy Spirit to train, teach, and equip you to fulfill it. Amen. You're not going to look like your neighbor. Your neighbor's mission is not going to be exactly like yours. Even, I may get upset, people may get upset at this. Even within a husband and wife, there's multiple mission that is going forth. But the vision's got to be the same. The purpose has to be the same. But there may be different callings and giftings within a marriage that you have a certain thing. So don't drag your spouse into what you're doing if they have a mission that they need to do too. It's not going to separate you, but you got to fulfill what God's telling you to do. Amen. Because he's placed that in there long before the marriage came about. Amen. Even before you were thought of and conceived, God already knew he had a mission for you. Amen. Amen. So you have to respect that. But God has anointed you. Amen. I want everyone to stand to their feet. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. If you're sleeping, wake up. Stand to your feet. Because God wants to impart to you. This word is not going to return void. God didn't give me this message just to get up here for an hour and a half or whatever and just relay it and just throw it out there, puke it out on you, and just nothing's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And God's going to speak to people. God is going to speak to people. Amen. I want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, because God's getting ready to impart to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How are you going to impart to your generation? How are you going to bring freedom? Amen. God is freeing you to run right now. Everybody lift their hands and close their eyes. God is imparting to you right now His plan for your life. God is imparting to you His fulfillment in your life. The questions in life that you have, you're going to have answers as you seek the Lord. As you exalt the King and expand the kingdom, God is going to continue to speak to you. God has a plow for you to put in the ground to work His field, to serve Him all the days of your life. He has a harvest field for you to go after. He has given you His Spirit to empower you to accomplish His plan for your life. And this impartation right now is going to lead to demonstration. If the Lord is speaking to you right now, I want you to come forward. You can line up right by the pulpit. If the Lord's speaking to you, as you do that,